The Jaguars' playoffs hopes may indeed rest on this play. It is from 31 yards. There's the snap. The placement. The kick is up. It's on the way. And it's no good. It's no good.
Oh, my God.
It's no good. Martin Anderson is missed. And the Jaguars are going to the playoffs.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
You know Tyler Devitt is feeling it today, Tony, when he goes to the Holy Grail of Jaguar highlights to intro us today with the Morton Anderson miss. Although I'm not quite sure who is the bittersweetness for. Atlanta fans? I mean, where's the bittersweet aspect of the bittersweet symphony?
It's just a cool song.
It is a cool. I love that song.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic song, but I don't know if...
Dramatic.
It's just a sweet symphony is what that is, to hear that over and over again. Good morning, Jaguar Nation out there. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Today.
Maybe the bittersweet part is that it's just so long ago.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
And
20
it's time
years.
To create some new ones.
I know Tyler is trying. I think he's trying to get us to have some parallels to 96, and maybe this team
some
is going to go on
some positive vibes,
run.
You could say.
Yes. All right. And you're okay. You're okay with this particular team from Chicago taking a loss this weekend, I take it, Tyler.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I don't like the Bears very much. I'm not a big Jay Cutler fan, so I'm actually probably more of a Jags fan now than a Bears fan, I would say.
Good. That's a good answer.
So I want the Jags to win, of course.
Who is a Jay Cutler fan, really? Tony, you're a Vanderbilt guy.
I'm a Vanderbilt,
you a Jay Cutler
I mean,
fan?
I don't know that I'm... I wish Jay was better than he is.
Right.
Like, as
do you
a,
wish he was better, or do you wish he was just more likable?
Both. I mean, I want
which,
to
which
see...
Which would you take? Would you rather have a Vandy quarterback win the Super Bowl and be an absolute jerk?
Don't care.
Don't
win the
care.
Super Bowl. Just to have that kind of feather in my cap.
It's not like
fantastic.
He's out murdering people,
no,
right?
He's just kind of a surly guy.
You don't have to buy his jersey.
Yeah.
If he wants to smoke cigarettes, let him. That's his business.
I don't care.
Right?
Speaking of Jay Cutler and the Bears, during the Honda driver on the NFL, I've got some great sound bites from a upcoming E60 tonight between... the Bennett brothers, they're going to be featured tonight, and Martellus and Michael, obviously you guys know, they're not afraid to say anything, and I got some good sound bites.
Yeah, the Black Radio Unicorn, Martellus Bennett's self-given nickname, he is an interesting individual, and he apparently lit into Jay Cutler, so we'll have that coming up.
He lit into everybody.
Well, that's kind of his nature, you know? He's coming off a high, man. That guy's like, I just caught 3 touchdowns. I'll say anything right now. I'm bulletproof,
no
baby.
Doubt.
He's got it going on. Hey, today we kind of look back on the first quarter. We can talk about any aspect of Jaguar football you want to get into. In fact, Brian Sexton's going to join us to catch up at the quarter pole of the season, talk a little bit about what went down in London. I'm curious to ask, and Brian's been to, I would imagine, every NFL city, you know, making trips with the Jags over the years. Certainly he's been to every NFL city. What his favorite road trip is, you know? Some guys, that matters too. For me, it never really mattered that much, even when I covered the Jags on the road for a year, the first year at 1010XL, because I'm such a homebody. I'm not trying to take in much of the nightlife of the city. So we'll get into a couple of things with Brian coming up. But today's question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, is looking back over the first four games of the season, which player most exceeded your expectations, whatever you thought they would do in the first month of the year coming in, who outperformed that the most? You can weigh in on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler, and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Also, just kind of as a secondary way to interact with the show today, we threw up a poll, because I've been thinking about this, and it's been in the news. This comes up, Tony, and it's come up as many years as we've done sports talk radio. We've had some callers call in and complain, hey, we just lost a hard-fought game. I just spent X amount of money for tickets, for parking, for concessions, and I scream in my head off all afternoon, and we get this as a result. And then I see players from the team that I'm pulling for, I'm spending my hard-earned money to support, out there on the field joking it up and laughing it up with the other team. Now, sometimes, maybe quite often, the people who call into sports talk radio don't represent anything close to the majority out there. They're kind of the squeaky wheel, and they give you the impression that they are vast in number. So I threw a poll out there today on Twitter simply asking you this. How much does it bother you if your team loses and one of your players is laughing and joking with players from the other team after the game? And because Twitter limits me to four options, here are the four I gave you to vote on. A, it drives me crazy. In other words, you're one of those passionate fans that you just cannot stand to see that. B, it's a little annoying, right? I wouldn't prefer it, but it's not the biggest deal in the world. C, depends on the mood I'm in. That's pretty much my life, right? I mean, I'm a hypocrite on a day-to-day basis, depending on what mood I'm in. And then D, not at all, get a life, right? Like, come on, I have much less things to worry about. And the early indications are people don't care about it as much as I thought they did, at least based on the early returns. That's on my Twitter timeline, at MD_1010XL, so you can vote on that. And we'll keep that up there for the next 24 hours and just kind of take a look at what people's reactions to that are. If you want to get in today, 641-1010 is the phone number, and it's also the text line number driven by Duval Ford. Any aspect of Jaguar football, you want to look ahead, project the next four games. I know Tony talked about that a good bit on Monday. And just talking about the matchup with the Chicago Bears, how important is this game? Do you consider it a must-win, and what is a must-win to you? A lot of directions you can go in that, and including – but not limited to who has exceeded those expectations of yours the most in the first month of the season. Already had several responses. None. Nobody. I expected more out of this team as a whole. That may be the case. We're looking for an individual, though, that may have done just that for you. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we're live at Everbank in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. So stick around. Jaguars Today is off and rolling on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Wednesday's here on Jaguars Today, brought to you by our friends at Metro Rooter for all size plumbing jobs, residential plumbing, commercial plumbing, even industrial plumbing, septic systems, restaurant grease trap service. Think about it. Anything that has to do with plumbing, if you've got an issue, Metro Rooter will have your solution. Same-day service, weekends included. The right people with the right equipment. That's a simple formula that's kept Metro Rooter at the top of their game since 1978, serving Jacksonville and beyond. Visit MetroRooter.com online to find out more, or call 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. A lot of early returns for Yannick Ngakoue and even Jalen Ramsey, despite high expectations for Jalen Ramsey. A lot of people feel that Ramsey has exceeded them. Tony, am I going too far when I said yesterday to Jeff Logman that I think a year from now that I think there's a very good chance that Jalen Ramsey can be looked at as one of those kind of consensus top half dozen cornerbacks in the National Football League?
I don't think so. I mean, he's already fallen around whoever the opposing team's number one receiver is for at least most of that Colts game. We'll see what the plan is this weekend against Chicago, but the physicality that he has at the position along with the athleticism has showed up, I think, even more than you would expect it to through the first month of the season. So with his size and athletic ability, you always knew he was going to have the potential to be one of those guys. He's just living up to it sooner than I think anyone would have expected.
Just dawned on me, the connection of doing the show with Maurice Jones-Drew tonight on Sirius. We do it on Wednesday nights now at 8 o'clock, and we're going to have Jordan Howard on of the Chicago Bears. So I'll get his opinion on what he's seen on film from the Jaguar defense, particularly that front seven, as they get ready to host Jacksonville coming up this week. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010 is the phone number, and it's also the text line number driven by Duval Ford, and we'll get a few of those up and rolling as well. One right here, talking about the poll we threw out there about how much it bothers you, if at all, that players joke around with players on the other team even after they've gotten beaten by them. It is a different culture now. There's a different time. It used to be, certainly, for a guy my age, there was a lot less movement of players prior to free agency in the National Football League. And a lot of sports, even with free agency in baseball in the 70s, Tony, you still had a lot of guys that played the vast majority of their careers or long, long stretches in one city. And you built up those rivalries because the same players played against the same players on the other side year after year after year. So I get it that that aspect is gone. This one from the 904 area code, seriously, most of the guys in the NFL played with or against each other in college. Who cares if they joke after the game? It's a game that we all love, but it's still just a game. It's like seeing an old friend and shooting the crap with them. All right? I get that aspect, and I think that's what the players are going to tell you. That doesn't mean it's never bothered me to see, right? If it's, look, if it's a typical regular game, you're kind of used to it. If it's a playoff game, if it's a season ender, if it's one that eliminates you, if it's, you know, one that your fan base is built up to, I probably am more on the line of depends on the mood I'm in on any given day, because it has bothered me at times. It's not like it's the most important thing in the world. I wouldn't say it drives me crazy, but there probably have been occasions where it's driven me a little bit crazy.
It probably bothered me a lot more when I was a young fan than it ever would
when
now.
That intensity burned a little brighter.
I mean, but I don't ever remember being truly bothered by ever seeing, you know, any team I was rooting for shaking hands or laughing around with the guy that they just played after a game. I get that for some fans it is a big deal. For me, I can't remember it ever being that big a deal. But I'm sure, you know, when I was a lot more emotional about some of the teams that I root for, that, yeah, I could see myself getting a little bit more upset than I would say now.
I just got this tweet in, and I wasn't sure what it was in response to. It said, toughness, that look from your leaders, your quarterback and your head coach in those critical moments that we're going to get it done. I said, that didn't seem like a direct reply to anything we were talking about. That was a reply from Jaguar Man to a tweet we posted on the 14th of October, 2015. I don't know what if he's just scrolling the timeline, what's the biggest thing missing from the Jags in their quest for more wins? I'm sure if we look back, we would find more wins topping the list from a lot of the snarky
last October
Twitter followers. That's what can I tell you? It's almost a year ago to the day that that was posted in there. Let's get let's see, what do we got here? Let's get All right, let's get to Malik Jackson joining the Midday Chalk yesterday. Remember, if you want to get in, 641-1010. Brian Sexton going to join us in about 10 minutes, and we'll kind of assess where the Jags stand at the quarter point of the season. Malik appears on Midday Chalk every Tuesday right around noontime with the guys to discuss the past week's game, or in this case, coming out of the bye week with a victory in London, and talked about his batteries being refreshed, and he quickly kind of recapped the thought on getting that W against the Colts.
It was awesome. You know, it was definitely a good win. We seem to have a good record over there, so hopefully we can keep going. But it was good to just get that W. The guys were just so happy, and, you know, it's good to see the young guys who finally won an NFL game and us to kind of get over that hump of not being able to close out these good teams. So, you know, it was nice that we won that going into the break because, you know, you hear all the rumors about coming back for people that don't do well. So it was nice.
I wonder what rumors he's hear. You know what I mean? Like how bad that plane trip is? Or...
It's not like they don't know, you know, what was potentially at stake for this football team over there. Not
only of course they do.
What they can do or accomplish or not accomplish going forward in this season, but, I mean, they knew that a bad loss there could cost their head coach's job. I mean,
right.
They knew. Let's skip ahead one here, Tyler, and Malik talking a little bit about what, to me, has been the most impressive part of this football team through the first month of the season and just how good this defense has been at times. Malik talked about that side of the ball coming together.
I think we're starting to gel and starting to mesh. I think the young boys are out there playing really well. They're, you know, calmed down from just like, wow, the NFL, I'm in the NFL, to now I have to play, do this job. People are counting on me. We got to stop doing penalties and things like that and grow out of the negative stuff and stop beating ourselves. But I think we're starting to get the thing going.
All right, well, let's hope that they continue to get it going. Got this on the text line, by the way. It said Jones-Drew was known to yuck it up with the opposition after the game. Jones-Drew whooped it up with the competition post-game, I remember. I remember that as well. And I remember it bothering people at times. Yeah. Some, not everybody.
I remember people being bothered. I just don't remember being one of them.
Right. So anyway.
They're only bothered in losses, right? If they're winning, everything's fine.
Oh, I think if you win, yeah, you can do whatever you like. If you win.
If you win, it looks like you're gloating.
Right. You're kind of out there and you're nobody cares, right? Cause you're not even paying attention to it if you win because you're celebrating yourself. If you lose and you're just devastated and you're like, oh, you have your gut tripped out. You know, particularly, people are – it's in the news again with the Josh Lambeau situation. You know, I wonder if it's because he's a kicker that he's getting more grief because guys do this all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
I've never heard teams comment on it.
I've never heard a head coach comment
right on
it.
Like, it just seems like fans I've heard upset about it, but I've never seen a coach have to step in front of the podium and say, yeah, we had to have a discussion about how he handled it. I'm like, what?
Now, maybe Philip Rivers wouldn't do that, but right. I don't think he would say that if Philip Rivers had kind of gone over to Janikowski and Janikowski made a joke and he laughed at the joke,
sure.
Which is what Lambeau says happened.
Yeah, he said when Janikowski says something funny, you laugh.
You laugh.
That's what Lambeau said about it, which I'm like, all right, it's a couple kickers. I get that he was involved in the play that wound up costing him an opportunity to tie that game, but he didn't snap it, and he certainly didn't drop the snap.
Right.
So it's not like he didn't do his job on that play. He wasn't given an opportunity to.
Let's get back to Malik Jackson here yesterday on the Midday Chalk. Todd Wash taking over as defensive coordinator. And, of course, Malik doesn't know any other coordinator here in Jacksonville that he's never played under another one. But what has it been like for him as Todd Wash has been his defensive coordinator?
I think Coach Wash has done a great job ever since I got here. Somebody, you know, everybody believes in. He took over this defense and really believes in us, and we believe in him. He treats us like men, and we go out there, and that's a guy you want to win for. You know, he's a great teacher, and he gives us a lot of leniency to do things, but he also expects us to be where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there. And I think, you know, the accountability standard he holds us to really allows us to grow and be better and be accountable ourselves. So I'm glad to play for Wash, man. He definitely studies hard and puts us in great positions, man. And I think we're starting to grow and do things, you know, as a group, and he has a huge challenge because we have a lot of young guys, you know, and we're just trying to all be veterans and grow up fast together, and I think he's doing a great job right now.
I think one thing you've heard from players, Tony, you and I have heard from players here on this program throughout the offseason was that Todd Wash was an aggressive guy, right? More so, I think, for the players, even without saying it outright, the ones who were here at least last year, if not for longer than that, are going unsaid more so than Bob Babich, right? That he's more willing to take chances, more willing to blitz. I think players like that. Naturally, you don't want to be passive on defense. You want to play an aggressive style. And we'll see how the season plays out in terms of, you know, the total blitz numbers and things like that. But at least from what the players told us, they perceive this to be a much more aggressive system than it was even last year.
Yeah, and they've been more effective blitzing this year than they were last year. So you can only say that for them early on in the season. They're on defense. One of those young guys that Malik was talking about yesterday with the boys of the Midday Chalk is Miles Jack, who got his first start in London against the Indianapolis Colts. Malik talked about his impressions of the young player.
I like him. I like the kid, man. He's doing a great job. They're definitely throwing a lot at him as far as trying to learn positions, you know, because you got guys like Paz and 50 back there doing their thing. So, you know, you're not going to get rid of them. And then Scooter's been doing a good job, too. So I think they found a place for him out there to try to get in there with some of those guys. And he's showing up.
50 has been probably the MVP of the team for
been really good.
First four games of the season. That would be, of course, Telvin Smith. Aaron Colvin back this week. What can he get done? Malik Jackson hasn't played a game with him yet, but here's what he said about the return of Colvin.
The AC coming back is a huge deal for us. I'm excited to see him play. I haven't been able to see him play in the game yet, so very excited for that. Great to have J.O. back because, you know, the rotation we have in there with me, him and Sin on third down is awesome. We all get to learn and do things, and it's just great. You know, it's just great timing, and we just need to start putting these pieces together and really taking this thing over because, you know, it's there for us to take over. It's there for us to do great. We just got to really take it by the horns and just do it. And I think everybody's on the same page, and we'll see you this Sunday.
All right, 641-1010 if you want to get in today on any aspect of Jaguar football. Let's go to the west side and welcome Harold in, first caller of the morning on Jaguars today. Good morning, Harold.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Not much. I just wanted to weigh in on the question you were asking earlier about the most surprising Jaguar through the first four games. And for me, it has to be, and I know a lot of people are going to say Ramsey, but the problem with that is I think Ramsey is doing exactly what I expected him to do. When you look at a guy like Unique Ngakoue, we were told in the beginning that he was going to come in and be a situational player, and now, right, just four weeks into it, it looks like he's a three-down defensive end He does a good job of being relentless against the pass rush. When you watch him play, he's always moving. He never gets stuffed. And he's played better against the run game than we thought. And a lot of people talk about Malik Jackson getting pressure up the middle and pushing the quarterback out to the defensive end. Well, I see a lot of times our defensive end take an angle and getting at your quarterback and making him step up into that defensive tackle. So kudos to Unique Ngakoue. And boy, I think we're going to finally have the two ends we've been looking for forever for the Jaguars.
We hope so, Harold. Thank you. We're getting a lot of good feedback on Unique Ngakoue, certainly on today's question, but just in general as well. And we had him in here last week. Jeff Logman and I after the London game, and then you heard Jeff talk about him really the last couple weeks, Tony, about watching him on film and how much better he's getting against the run. I think Harold's right. You thought this guy was going to have a limited kind of role. It looks like he's coming in and he's not abiding by that script, right? And right now, he is your most dangerous pass rusher that you have on this football team.
Yeah, he is. And he's earning more and more playing time, it seems like, on a week-to-week basis. So pushing Dante Fowler, maybe those guys pushing each other there on the first couple downs too, I think that's good. And it struck me when we were talking to Jeff, just didn't get a chance to talk to him about it, going back and watching his Maryland tape and the idea that he didn't put a whole lot of effort in on running plays. And my question would be, well, was there anyone they would take him off the field for, right? And he gets here to Jacksonville. Not only is he a third-round pick, there are a lot of expectations on him. But if you're going to be on the field on first and second down in this defense, then you're going to have to be at that Leo position and be able to stand up against the run. And there is pressure on Ngakoue and Dante Fowler Jr. to perform on those downs, or the other guy's going to get an opportunity to go on the field and perform on those downs.
Right.
So I think maybe at Maryland it was a lack of anyone pushing him in that kind of spot. And now that he's in the NFL, there is somebody else there directly pushing each of those guys, and I think it's helping both of them right now.
And let's be honest, players take plays off, right? I mean, they simply do. Most players do. Not every player does. And there are circumstances where it's even somewhat understandable, right? If you're a wide receiver and you're running a dive play up the middle and you're on the outside and anything you do really doesn't have a big impact on it, those guys don't always necessarily fire off the line to secure their block. That's
sure.
Just one small example. If you are your team's best defensive player, and I don't know enough about Maryland to know if he was clearly the best, but certainly the most effective pass rusher, the time you would probably rest would be on early downs, right? You'd probably occasionally take some of those early downs off, so to speak, because it's tough to have your motor going 90 miles an hour on every single snap if you are out there playing a high volume of snaps. Look, you know, if you're deep enough on the defensive line, the idea is you're going to rotate those guys in there anyway. You heard Malik Jackson a minute ago talking about how nice it is to have Jared Odrick back because of the three-man rotation they have between the two of them and Derek Marks on third down, and it keeps those guys fresh, and they're able to go after it a little bit harder. Some people have an issue with that as well. You should be going hard on every single play. The fact of the matter is, maybe you should ask yourself, if you go hard at your job every single second of every single day, probably the answer is going to be no on that score. Brian Sexton is the exception to that, of course. He goes hard every single time when it comes to covering the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's going to join us next in studio, kind of reflect on the first four games of the season and tell us where he thinks the Jags are headed, other than the obvious, with a trip to Chicago coming up this week. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Folks, dropping the pounds, feeling better about myself. I feel good. I look better, but I still want to tighten up and tone up, and I'm able to do that now. And I'm able to do that around my own schedule with Beachbody On Demand. Flexibility and variety. That's one of the things I love about Beachbody On Demand. What are they? Well, they're the total solution for health, fitness, and weight loss. And if you join Beachbody On Demand, by the way, you can get 30 days free if you use my promo code Dempsey. Just text that to 303030. You're going to get access to $6,000, over $6,000 worth of the most effective fitness and nutrition programs ever created. Familiar brands like P90X, Insanity, 21 Day Fix Extreme are just scratching the surface of what's available. Love the 3-week yoga retreat. Never tried it before. You know what? It may be something I continue to do on into the future. Again, get access to this on any of your mobile devices, your computer, your iPad, your smart TV, by texting Dempsey to 303030. That's Dempsey, D-E-M-P-S-E-Y, to 303030 for a 30-day free trial of Beachbody On Demand.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars defense has been the highlight of the season so far, at least heading into this week's matchup against Chicago. Malik Jackson joined the guys of Midday Chalk. Thanks to Farrah and Farrah to talk about the progress and chemistry of the defense.
I think we're starting to gel and starting to mesh. I think the young boys are out there playing really well. They're, you know, calmed down from just like, wow, the NFL. I'm in the NFL to now I have to play, do this job. People are counting on me. We got to stop doing penalties and things like that and grow out of the negative stuff and stop beating ourselves. But I think we're starting to get the thing going.
This has been Jaguars Daily brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
This is Alan Hearn, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010 XL.
All right, we continue along here live at Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, joined now by the longtime voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Mr. Brian Sexton. What's up, Brian?
You just call me Brian.
I could. But
it's that Mr. part that throws me off. How are you?
All right. Is it the Mr. part?
I thought it was the whole thing.
How about just Brian?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just
like everywhere
Brian's
you go.
Here.
The former voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, that's I went with the longtime voice.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. You live in St. Augustine.
I do.
How'd you do?
We did great.
Yeah.
I did very well.
Okay.
You know, obviously, others not as well. So, you know.
My wife and I got married down there. Father Tom Willis, who's the pastor at the cathedral down there, is my best friend. I love St. Augustine. Very tough to hear about the damage down there. The guys at Gypsy Cab Company, longtime guys of mine, Patrick and Ned and that crew. So hope everyone in your town is doing well.
Yeah, I think, well, you know, my neighborhood survived pretty well.
Good.
Got the power back on Sunday for the most part. I can't believe, man, you heard yesterday, 40,000 people still without power in
Amazing.
Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So. And I heard Dan Hicken talking about this morning. He ran into a lady at the gas station who said that they didn't expect to have it back until Sunday.
You know, in 2004, we went 11 days in Atlantic Beach. My wife and I did on 9th
What
Street.
Was the name of that hurricane?
It was Ivan that caused all the
Is
trouble.
That's all right. I've been trying to think. That one came up through the state, right?
Yep.
My sister lived in Deltona, knocked her out for over a week as well, and they came up and stayed with us.
Charlie, Faye, Ivan, maybe not Frey. Maybe it was Fred, Frank, Francis. I don't know. Yeah, it was Francis. It was Charlie, Francis, Ivan, and Gene. And Gene was the one time we didn't come back from a road trip because we pulled in. We were in Nashville, and we pulled into the airport, and the buses just kept on going back to the Radisson downtown because they said you're not going to land that night. So,
well,
hurricane memories.
Yeah, well, you know, honestly, I mean, the thing worked out perfectly with the bye with the Jags off, not to have to worry about the logistics of a home or a road game.
Think about it. If you're a player or a coach with family. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to leave my family.
Sure.
Who would have wanted to leave? But
of course not.
They would have had to relocate to Atlanta or Tampa or wherever they were going to go to get out of the storm's path. That it happened on the bye week was a miracle.
Yeah, let's hope that's it for 2016,
you bet.
At least. And now for the Jags, let's hope that's not it. Let's hope that they can carry that over. How much, when you get a win, right, a much-needed win, you've been around this a long time. I mean, you've probably seen examples of momentum in 96. You could feel almost tangible momentum, right? Other years, you know, you win three or four in a row, and you think, well, we got it going, and you lay an egg. So how important is it that you won your last game?
Well, the last 2 weeks would have been miserable. With the storm,
no doubt.
You know, and a loss and the long flight home, it would have been absolutely miserable. I can't get a finger on this team. I don't know if you guys can. I looked at it, and I thought 2-2 was the best-case scenario for the first month anyway, just because of the quarterbacks and the trips. But I just, at places that I thought they would be good running the football, they weren't. They were better in London, but they weren't as good running the football. The defense is better than I thought. The offense hasn't performed as well. I mean, these are all things that your listeners have seen and heard and,
sure.
and concluded for themselves. The point that I get to, though, is I'm not sure whether to say that they have momentum that they can carry through or they've got to restart in Chicago. And I look at the Bears and I mean, you're going to Chicago, and this has not been a team that's won on the road, but that's not an insurmountable obstacle. You should be able to go up there and get it started up there against the Bears. But I don't know that I say, oh, absolutely, they go do that. This is where it starts. Now, if they go do that.
But they need to.
Oh, they have to.
I mean, and that's the thing. Whether they will or not, nobody knows. But Brian, if you're going to end up anywhere around 500 this year, this is one of those games you have to have.
Well, I mean, look at the schedule for the next month or so and tell me where they can't win, right? I mean,
absolutely.
They could win all of them. Of course, you know, the way that they've played at times, they could lose all of them. So it's tough to get your finger on this team, which takes me back kind of that 96 team where early on you could see the promise, you could see the talent, you could see the potential, but you couldn't see the results yet. And ultimately, we're going to be talking about whether Blake Bortles can overcome some mistakes, right? I mean, they had point-blank chances at the end of the game against the Packers and the Ravens at home. The quarterback's got to make those plays.
Absolutely.
Got to make those throws. If he evolves into the guy that makes those throws, we'll be talking about a team in a bad division that's challenging for the division title at the end of this season, if he gets there.
We all talk as if we're amateur psychologists or maybe even like we're professional psychologists and try to figure out, is this guy pressing? Is, you know, what's going through his mind? Is he worried about the interceptions? Put on your amateur psychologist jacket or whatever it is you'd wear and tell us, what do you think was going on? I mean, it seemed to me a very Blake Bortles in London that said, you know what? I may have a play to make down the field, but I know if I take off and run for 5 yards, it's a positive, and I'm going to do that a lot today.
You know, if I was wearing my amateur psychologist outfit, it would be a cardigan sweater and my glasses.
Okay.
Which are maybe? Yeah, well, no, it's a little too much for me. Not a smoker. But I don't think he panics. I don't think he may press a little bit, but he doesn't worry. I mean, you guys have been around him. He is so cool. I mean, he's just so relaxed in every situation. I was really impressed with him after the loss against the Ravens, the way he handled the media. That might have been the first time I expected him to kind of get snippy. Young guy, but he didn't. He's Joe Cool now. He's got that thing down. I think what you've got is a guy who expects to win, and for whatever reason, he's got the yips, right? He's Roy McAvoy all of a sudden in the last couple of games. Not London, but the games before that. And he's just not able to make the play happen. The ball's leaving his hand funky, right? You've all seen
Absolutely.
That. He's made some throws where you go, whoa, now, well, hold on. Where's the guy that was throwing the ball for 4,300 yards last year and 35 touchdowns? What's this? Of course, we're all talking about mechanics. Is it the release? Is it the hand position? Is it the footwork? Who knows? So I don't know that I can get my hands around it other than to say I think he's befuddled. I've joked about Roy McAvoy, the tin cup reference for people who don't recall it. And I kind of expect him to come out of it because we've seen him get better through tough times in his young career. And I just know the way he works. Have you ever watched him in pregame? He has a very specific routine. It's worth your time to step away from the mic one day, just go watch. He walks out with a bag of balls, right? They're tennis balls or lacrosse balls. And the way that he swings his arms and the way that he loosens up his legs and his throwing motion, he's very, very specific about that. And so I expect him to have worked through this rough patch to get to a point where he can come through it. I hope so. The whole franchise is hoping so.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned you expect him to be able to run the ball better. They did somewhat with T.J. Yeldon having a nice game against the Indianapolis Colts. Is that right now, is that a sign of the Jags starting to get a little bit better there? Or is that certainly just a matchup kind of thing where they took advantage of not a particularly good defense?
They've always been able to run against the Colts.
They have.
I mean, they might not have always been able to throw the ball against the Colts, but they could always count on the running game. So, yeah, the Colts are not a very good defensive front. The Bears are only marginally better. I mean, Trevathan. Is that how you pronounce it, Danny Trevathan?
Trevathan,
sorry. You know, he's got the cast on his hand. And Jarrell Freeman is a solid tackler. So the guards are going to have to be better. And you've had an offensive line the first month of the season where Brandon Linder wasn't 100% if he was in the lineup at all. And you had Jokel playing guard, and you had him playing tackle. And so now you're going to set up with what everyone assumes is going to be Patrick Amame, who is a pretty good run blocker. I don't know what he does in pass protection, but a pretty good run blocker. I'd like to see this. I'd like to see them hammer the ball north and south with Chris Ivory. I don't like the stretch runs with him. I mean, he gets something done when he bounces to the outside, but he's not a fleet-footed guy in my estimation. I want to see it up in the A-gaps. I want to see Brandon Linder and Amame and Can do what they do best, which is drive guys off the ball, bring the safety to the line of scrimmage, and now you're wearing out a defense. Now hit him with T.J. Yeldon. Now make them chase Yeldon, who is so fluid and changes direction so efficiently. Make them chase him. That'll keep the safety at the line of scrimmage, and then A-Rob should have his way with this secondary in Chicago. I mean, they don't have a marquee player, and A-Rob is as marquee as they come at that position.
And that's the thing. The Jags have been facing defenses that don't respect the run whatsoever, and they haven't been able to take advantage of that either, which enables people to play deep safeties and take away those shots that they've been taking down the field.
And where Bortles is at his very best is off play action. I mean, he reminds me of Matt Schaub, if you recall, during his days when Arian Foster was at his peak and Andre Johnson was running down the field, you could hold the defense and Schaub would stand back there forever and give Andre Johnson time to get open. If you've got that effective play action going, you not only don't have enough help for A-Rob or Allen Hurns or Julius over the middle. But Bortles is comfortable in the pocket, so deep and so comfortable in the pocket.
Yeah, and for people out there that are cringing, thinking that's not the comparison I want, Matt Schaub did lead the NFL in passing 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
He was at his peak, he was a pretty good quarterback.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, not everybody's going to be Brett Favre.
I understand, but I think some people have the tail end of Matt Schaub the way, you know.
Oh, he went to the Pro Bowl, led them to the playoffs back-to-back years. I mean, he was playing at a very high level, and the Jaguars couldn't solve him. I'm not saying that Bortles is Matt Schaub. I think he can be better than Matt Schaub, but that's the best example to me of play action in recent years.
The question we asked folks today is, with the first month of the season, which one player has most exceeded your expectations? A lot of people say Yannick Ngakoue, and that's an easy. So let's take him off the table, because he has exceeded, I think, a lot of people's expectations. Who would be another that you would say for Brian Sexton?
Well, we haven't seen enough of him. But Prince Amukamara, when he's been on the field, has played. He looks very good. I mean, not only does he understand the position to a level that a lot of guys don't, he knows how he's being attacked, and he can sense it. I think he's a very good athlete. I mean, he's fluid, more fluid than people, I think, expect him to be. So he's exceeded my expectations. Jalen Ramsey's been freaking terrific. I guess maybe everyone expected that, but, you know, guys make the jump from one league to the next. Sometimes it takes time.
Right. Rookies don't always look the way he has looked.
And I don't know that people follow and watch the corners as much as they watch the ball and the guys up front chasing the quarterback. But when you watch him, even when the ball is not going his way, I mean, just turn the glasses on him for a while and watch just how fluid he is and how he changes direction. He's going to make mistakes. I mean, that happens, but boy, he has been really, really good.
And with Colvin back now and the two other guys you just mentioned playing as well as they have, that's hopefully that lights the fire under Devon House, because his playing time is in jeopardy, you got to believe, with all those other guys playing well.
The two penalties in London were...
The third and 16 was awful.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
And across the field that set up the other touchdown that made it a closer game in the fourth quarter, same thing. I mean, he was chasing and he was hanging. And, you know, some guys can get away with it. Devon House is not going to get away with it.
What do you have coming up between now and Sunday?
I'm hoping to sit down with Patrick Omame. Okay. You know, there's just you know that song on Broadway?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mame. I can't get it out of my head. We're all laughing about that.
No, wait a minute. You were doing on Broadway? I thought you were doing Volare.
We were yesterday. But he's very well spoken. He played at Michigan. Has 25 starts as an undrafted rookie, guy who played in Chicago. And he's stepping into a position where they're really going to need him to play at a high level. I'm very interested. I'm going to sit with him for a few good minutes tomorrow. Inside the Jaguars, working on getting ready for game day live. You know, there's just a lot. 12 games remain, Mike and Tony. 12 games, and there is still a very distinct opportunity, despite the 1-3 start, for this team to be in the hunt. You look at it. The best defensive player in the division is out. And in Houston, there are a lot of nervous people about Brock Osweiler and his $17.5 million a year salary.
No doubt.
Okay, so they're not rock solid the best team in the division. They may be a little more talented on defense, but offense, you worry about that. The Colts we saw, right? Andrew Luck is the best offensive player in the division, and T.Y. Hilton is a very difficult guy to cover. But their defense is horrendous, and so they're not there. I mean, Titans run the ball, but what else do they do at this point in time, right? The division's wide open. So if this team, and we all think they're a better team than we've seen in recent years, if they can get their act together, it'll be fun.
If.
It's a big if.
Go do it.
It's a big if. Make it happen.
Yeah, it's similar. Right.
Go do it.
I agree with you. The talent level is better. The situation is nearly identical to last year. And I just, you know, every week it was like, if this, right. Even with the loss, hey, still look at the math and it's still, you know, let's.
But the defense is ranked sixth. Are they still sixth? I haven't seen the updated rankings.
I'm not sure.
They were sixth going into this weekend. Sixth against Phillip Rivers, Joe Flacco, Andrew Luck, and Aaron Rodgers.
They
were sixth against great quarterbacks. So, I don't know. I think the defense can get them some traction over the next month. We'll see. If you invite me back the first weekend of November and we are still talking about if, then it's a tremendous, tremendously missed opportunity.
All right. Let's have you back the first weekend of November. Consider that an invitation. Brian Sexton, who when this is done, he will catch a Greyhound bus for home. They all say.
Come on. Look. It's catchy.
It is, but honestly, I don't know if I can get over Volare. I think it makes it.
But you know the easier, you know on.
I know,
Mom. And Joe.
Gotcha.
If you could get Joe in here, Joe last night
was just shaking his head.
Well, he's got to come in and give you his lyrics, because he was literally It's like he wasn't rapping, although he was, what do they call that, freestyle? He was just going.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's a tremendously creative guy, and he was coming up with really good lines.
All right, Joe Fortunato, put pen to paper, and
we'll
perform that a little bit later.
If nothing else, we're giving you something to think about over the next couple of hours.
Yes,
Stay tuned.
Or not think about. Brian Sexton on Twitter, at Jags Voice. Brian, we appreciate it, buddy.
You got it, guys. Appreciate you.
See you at least in the first week of November, if not sooner. There he goes.
I'm just on the other side of the glass.
I know, he's right there. We see him every day, literally.
Yes,
All right, coming back to State and Football. Football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL on 92.5 FM.
It's catchy.
It is, but honestly, I don't know if I can get over Volare. I think it makes it
But you know the, you know, on I
know.
Oh, man. And Joe.
Gotcha.
If you could get Joe in here. Joe last night.
He was just shaking his head.
Well, he's got to come in and give you his lyrics because he was literally... It's like he wasn't rapping, although he was, what do they call that, freestyle? He was just going.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's a tremendously creative guy, and he was coming up with really good lines.
All right, Joe Fortunato, put pen to paper, and
we'll
perform that a little bit later.
If nothing else, we're giving you something to think about over the next couple of hours.
Yes,
Stay tuned.
Or not think about. Brian Sexton on Twitter, at Jags Voice. Brian, we appreciate it, buddy.
You got it, guys. Appreciate you.
See you at least in the first week of November, if not sooner. There he goes.
I'm just on the other side of the glass.
I know, he's right there. We see him every day, literally.
Yes,
All right, coming back to State and Football. Football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, October the 12th, going back to 1991, Doug Flutie of the British Columbia Lions set CFL passing marks of 582 yards through the air. Despite that, the BC Lions fell to the Edmonton, or the Eskimos? Edmonton Eskimos?
Sounds
in the
CFL? Right.
I think that's right. 45-38 in overtime that day. On this date in 1992, Tony, Washington wide receiver Art Monk became the NFL's all-time leading reception maker when he caught his 820th ball in a 34-3 victory over the Broncos. You currently have five guys in the National Football League who are active, who have more than that 940 is what Art Monk ended up with. He ended up 18th. He caught his 820th on his date, ended with 940. Five active players have more than 940 receptions. Who you got?
Five active players?
Active. There are a lot more than five total, 17 guys total, but five of them are active as of right now.
Andre Johnson?
Yep, he's eighth all-time, 1,062.
I don't know why my mind is just not working. I was looking at something else. I don't know. I guess
Larry Fitzgerald,
yep.
Jason Witten, Anquan Boldin, and Steve Smith all have more than Art Monk does. Currently 18th on the list. Brandon Marshall is top 20 right now in exactly 20th place with 906 receptions. Birthdays for this date, not too many of note. 1965, Chris Chandler born in this date. Two-time Pro Bowl quarterback, took the Atlanta Falcons to their lone Super Bowl in 1998, and a two-time Pro Bowl defensive lineman, Leon Lett. Leon Lett's a very good player. He has three Super Bowl rings. He'll be forever known for two gaffes, however, that he made on the football field. One was getting run down by Don Beebe from behind and coughing up the football in what would have been a long touchdown return. And the other one was for sliding into the ball on what was, I believe, a missed field goal. And by touching the ball, the Dolphins were able to recover and go on to beat the Dallas Cowboys in a Thanksgiving Day game, as I recall. So two Leon Lett miscues, but he does have three Super Bowl rings to offset that. That is this date in football presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're on Gate Parkway here in town. If you need cosmetic work done, or perhaps you're in the market for a family dentist, Dr. McCall's office can handle either and more. 620-9225 is the number. They're a certified Invisalign provider. They've got the SomnoMed custom fit mouth guard to help you stop snoring. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That was this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Buffalo Bills wide receiver Sammy Watkins will not need surgery for his injured foot. He could return this season still for the Bills, but no solid timetable in place for him to return as of now. New York Jets wide receiver Eric Decker expected to undergo surgery on his torn rotator cuff, which will place him on IR. The team is announcing, that's according to Ian Rappaport. Adam Schefter moments ago tweeted out that to fill that roster spot that the New York Jets have signed Nick Marshall off of the Jaguars practice squad. Marshall, who was undrafted here in Jacksonville last year, played in 13 games with the Jags, including one start in Jacksonville before being put on the practice squad after the preseason this year. So it looks like Nick on his way up to the Big Apple. San Francisco 49ers head coach Chip Kelly announced yesterday that they will be making a change at quarterback in the Bay. Blaine Gabbert is going to the bench. Colin Kaepernick will be the team starter this weekend in Buffalo. Gabbert started the first five games of the season, leading the team to a 1-4 record, including an active four-game losing streak. There's been talk about Kaepernick and the team renegotiating its contract, which becomes fully guaranteed right now if Kaep were to be injured. But it appears that that is not going to happen. If it is, it probably won't be before the team's game gets underway this weekend. Josh Norman was recently fined for miming a bow and arrow, and the league clarified why they fined Norman, saying that the rules regarding celebrations in the NFL prohibits the use of simulated weapons of any sort. New Orleans wide receiver Brandon Cooks also uses the bow and arrow celebration after every touchdown and said that he doesn't have any intention of changing that. If the officials start flagging Cooks as they did Norman for that celebration, then Saints head coach Sean Payton may have to be the one that in the end puts an end to that celebration, even if Cooks says that the reason he does that particular one has nothing to do with violence. And former Chicago...
unsportsmanlike conduct. Number 24.
Shooting a bow
and arrow. He said it's actually a reference to a Bible story why he does it. Cooks.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
nevertheless.
I'm sure. Maybe that's why the league hasn't been penalizing him yet for it or fining him. Norman got it on the first time that he tried to do it. And former Chicago Bears, current New England Patriots tight end Martellus Bennett has some pointed comments about the Bears. He's got an interview coming up on E60. Let's listen to a couple of the things that he had to say. We'll start with his time in Dallas where... he doesn't have a whole lot of love lost for former teammate Jason Witten.
Witten didn't talk to me when I was in Dallas. He didn't help me. Very rarely did we talk. I hated him. I hated Witten.
This is good stuff. Martellus Bennett, no holds barred here.
I wonder if he hates Rob Gronkowski, too. Those two haven't been on the field much together.
I doubt he hates him yet because he's the one who caught the three touchdowns from Brady.
Give him time. Another comment here with Martellus Bennett, again coming up on E60, talking about his former teammate Jay Cutler.
Some people that you want to be a leader is not the guy that's the leader, and everyone in the locker room knows that this is not the leader, but this is what you want the face of the team to look like.
Some pointed comments there, but none more pointed other than this one, saving the best for last. Martellus just talked briefly about his time with the Chicago Bears.
We just had a bunch of on the roster. That's why we didn't win games. And coaches like the
The B words.
We just had a bunch of on the roster. That's why we didn't win games.
You gotta play the one too, though.
And coaches like the
They like the B words. Play the one on Roger Goodell. This is Martellus Bennett.
I think it's Michael.
This is Michael Bennett talking about Roger Goodell. Okay. Because it was going back and forth between the two of them. Here's what Michael Bennett had to say about the commish.
I don't think Roger Goodell did a good job. He can find me, say what you want him to say, but doesn't do anything to put his body in any harm. But yet, he gets to make every decision. Congratulations, NFLPA.
Okay.
You think the NFLPA has the power to make Roger play?
Right. Is he under the impression that the commissioner is supposed to put his body in harm's way? And if he doesn't, he has... cannot do his job effectively.
They're not the PA's not doing their job unless Goodell's suiting up.
There are a lot of things to criticize Roger Goodell about that are very reasonable. Not putting his body in harm's way doesn't seem to be one of them.
No. Where would play for you? Would Roger be a safety, a kicker?
Oh, Roger would
punter.
Yeah, he would not.
He'd be a punter. He'd be the one dropping that snap, and he'd be yucking it up with that other team.
Yes, he would. And he would not be, however, shooting a bow and arrow. If he did, though, he'd get a religious exemption. So he would not have to pay up for
it. We just had a bunch of on the roster. That's why we didn't win games. And coaches like the
Hey, look, that's a funny one. They're all pretty funny to me. But, some players think like that. Well, you didn't play the game. You didn't do... He's not hired because he played the game or didn't play the game. He's a businessman.
Yep.
He's the front man for the owners. That's what he's hired for. It has nothing to do with the NFLPA doesn't get to pick the commissioner. So
no,
I don't know who Michael Bennett is upset with there. Good job, NFLPA, because Roger Goodell didn't play football or doesn't continue to put his body in harm's way. But you know, it does. It kind of, to me, hurts your argument when you just go down the irrational path. If you want to say the guy is power mad, he's out of control, his application of punishment is not even-handed, he plays favorites, whatever. You can. I don't necessarily agree with every point, but you can make those arguments. When you make an argument like that, it's just dumb. But it is kind of funny.
Martellus has no love for former teammate Jay Cutler. Says he flat out hated Jason Witten.
Yes, hated Witten.
Which Witten seems like one of the nicer guys in the league.
I don't know if he's nice or not. I've never heard him say anything offensive or anything like that. But we don't know if these guys are nice or
all his former teammates a bunch of bees.
Just the ones in Chicago, right? He didn't say that about everyone in Dallas.
I bet he was lovely to have in the locker room.
He may have been. He's an outspoken guy. Look, we want guys. We hate it when guys give you coach speak, right? So, I mean, this is just a guy giving his opinion about people and reality behind the scenes. I kind of enjoy it from Martellus Bennett. You know, I don't know if Bill Belichick enjoys him dishing, even though it's not on players currently on his team in New England, but. That's his problem to worry about. All right.
We got a little bit of time before he'll do that.
Belichick was actually asked about Martellus' comments, and he went the we're on to Cincinnati route.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. He did it again today. Our focus is on Cincinnati.
Didn't Rex do that after Buffalo went and beat him in New England earlier this year, gave him the first home shutout in Patriots history? I believe I guess they were playing the Rams this past week. I believe Rex did the we're on to Los Angeles line, which is –
Rex
top
Rex,
shelf
man.
Trolling right there, honestly, as far as that goes. You love him or hate him, or alternately, you do both, I think, with Rex Ryan, depending on the day of the week. Again, we got the Twitter poll out there on if at all you're bothered by players on a losing team, the team you rooted for, if they lose, kind of laughing and joking it up with players on the other team after the game. There's four different answers you can give. Drives me crazy. It's a little annoying. Depends on the mood I'm in or not at all. Get a life. And we'll update the results of that as we come back. Also, the fan feedback question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. Which Jaguar player has most exceeded your expectations for them in the first month of the 2016 season? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we're live at Everbank on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Folks, Beachbody On Demand, what are they exactly? Well, what they are is a collection of some of the best workout routines from world-class super trainers that you're ever going to come across, and it's the most cost-effective way of having the variety and the options to pick any of them that you like that best suit you, your goals, your fitness goals, whatever they happen to be. Maybe it's losing weight, maybe it's toning up, maybe it's bulking up a little bit. Beachbody On Demand, the total solution for health, fitness, and weight loss, and they've got some of the most leading brands, the names you're going to recognize like P90X, Insanity, 21 Day Fix Extreme, T25. I'm doing the 3-week yoga retreat. It's challenging, but you know what? That's the beauty of it. I can pick that. I didn't have to go that direction. If I didn't like it, I can try something new that same day or any other day. How do you get a 30-day free trial to Beachbody On Demand? It's simple. Text my last name, Dempsey, D-E-M-P-S-E-Y, to 303030. Get a full 30 days of access to the entire platform for free. That's Dempsey. Text Dempsey to 303030 for a 30-day free trial of Beachbody On Demand.
Special teams are a part of making a team special. Listen for the Special Teams Player of the Week. Brought to you by Air Source America Heating and Air Specialists. Who's your air source? On 1010XL 92.5 FM. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
They say the neon lights are bright. Oh, mommy. Oh, mommy. Oh, mommy.
When you're walking down the street and you ain't had enough to eat, the glitter of right off and you're nowhere.
Oh, mommy.
All right. I still think Volare is better. And I still think, Tyler, have you ever heard either one of those songs prior to this
moment? Oh,
I've heard of On Broadway, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
Volare?
Volare? Yeah. I don't know. Who would sing that? Like Dean Martin or somebody like that?
Yeah, one of those cats.
Yeah, one of those hep cats.
When
back
Saxon
in the day.
First said it, I thought he was saying that's amore. That would fit there.
Which is also a Dean Martin special right there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Love it. All right. I used to go to Uncle Mike's Pizza in DeLand, and they had all the Dean Martin stuff on the jukebox, Tony. We'd go in there and eat pizza. Every Thursday, it was all you could eat pizza for like $4.
Mommy.
We used to slay it in there listening to Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra and those guys. In case you missed it or just went right past you, as Tony mentioned it, Nick Marshall. I blame this on J.P. Shadrick, who is an Alabama guy and wanted to rid our franchise of any Auburn influence whatsoever. But the New York Jets, after putting Eric Decker on injured reserve, signed Nick Marshall to their active roster off the Jaguars practice squad. So one of the Jags' pet projects over the last couple of seasons is no more for the team. They have now signed second-year safety Marcus Ball to the practice squad to take his place. He went undrafted out of Memphis and was with the Toronto Argonauts for a couple of years, along with the New Orleans Saints, spending some time in the National Football League. Did you, in the back of your mind, did you envision one day Nick Marshall becoming a regular contributor to a good defense here in Jacksonville? He's been a contributor at times, but they have been an understaffed defense.
Honestly, no. And it isn't that last year when they sign him as an undrafted player, and the idea coming out of his first training camp and preseason was that he probably wouldn't survive waivers, so they kept him on the 53-man roster. And transitioning, he was a cornerback when he went to college, but obviously played quarterback very successfully at Auburn.
Terrifying as a Florida State fan to play against that guy in the championship game.
And then transitioning back to the cornerback spot when he went to the Senior Bowl and everything after that year. And look, I think there's the idea that he can be okay, right? And honestly, we had the discussion this week about what's going on with Devon House and where he stands in the secondary at this point in time. And we're talking about a guy that I think we'd all agree was the best cornerback on this roster last year, is now the fourth guy right now on that list. And if he's the fourth guy and Nick Marshall was probably somewhere the third, fourth guy in that secondary last year, then what is his place? I'm not saying there's not room for growth for a guy like Marshall, but I know watching him this preseason, it didn't seem like he was any better than he was last year, and I was very disappointed with that and wonder what his role was going to be going forward. Was a little bit surprised that he made it to the practice squad when everything was said and done, and not surprised that a team that's desperate to try to get something done in the secondary with the New York Jets would look that way after not being able to get B'nai Ben-Wickery or whatever his
B'nai
name is.
B'nai Ben-Wickery.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yesterday they tried and just weren't able to snag him.
Yeah. You know, I presume you're right that the Jets look at him as a cornerback and they're looking for defensive backfield help, but Tony, to me, he reminds me of like when you sign that guy coming out of high school to your favorite college team, and maybe he was a wide receiver, maybe he was a DB, but you just list him as an athlete, maybe he's a quarterback, maybe he played all those things in high school. You don't quite know how you're going to use him. I could see Nick Marshall potentially, you know, trying to use him in some creative ways. You could see him as an offensive player, you know, a situational kind of guy, a fifth receiver, jack of all trades, punt returner. He's just such a great athlete, you know, that I was always intrigued by the potential that he had because he was a great athlete. Great athletes don't necessarily become great football players at the NFL level. Got a few here on the text line. Let's get to here. We got Dr. Stephen Lucy coming up in about 10 minutes or so with the injury report brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Talking about a couple of things today. Who is the player that's most exceeded your expectations so far in the first month of the season? And also, we had the poll out there, how much it bothers you, if at all, when players that you're rooting for lose, when your team loses, and you see players out there kind of yucking it up with players on the other team. Here's one on the text line driven by Duval Ford. I think Jag fans or any other fans of teams that have been losing a lot in the last few years would be more upset than any other fans, and I'm not one to get too upset about players smiling and joking with opposing players, but when you've lost a lot more than you've won, I think the perception is the players should be just as frustrated with losing as the fans are. But players come and go, as opposed to fans who've been fans for decades. It's kind of hard for players to be as frustrated as fans. I think that is a very reasonable outlook. In fact, players have a – some players, I should say, have a perception that we care more about it than the fans. And I don't think they understand what fandom is all about, some of those players do, because I think what you said is exactly right. You care about winning and losing, but you care about in the context of being a competitor, and this is your career. And yes, while you're playing for the Jaguars, I expect you to care about the outcome for the Jaguars. But these guys bounce around, and fans typically don't. Fans are fans, and they're with the team through good and bad. So when you hear players say, hey, you know what, it's only four games, or it's only this, it's only that, they're like, no, it's however many years it's been since we've been good. And that frustration does build up on occasion. Although, really, looking at the results that we've seen in this poll so far, about 225 votes in so far, 13% said it drives them crazy. Absolutely cannot countenance players joking around, right? So that's probably even a little bit lower than I would have expected. 34% said it's a little bit annoying. So that's 47, nearly half the people said it bothers them to some degree, but most of them are not too extreme about it. 18% said depends on the mood I'm in, and 35% say it doesn't bother them at all. Get a life. You know, there are other things to worry about. So a solid 35 in the camp once the game's over, the game's over. Speaking of social media, by the way, I just tweeted this out. I also posted it on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. I talked with the former Jag defensive lineman Paul Fraze this morning. I know a lot of people know his situation. He's a good Jacksonville guy. He's stayed here, raised a family, good people, a part of this community for a long, long time. And he had a son pass away due to a rare disorder. And Paul is trying to raise money to help the other people who are continuing to be impacted by this disorder, which I'm not going to try to repeat because I might misstate exactly what it is. But what I did was Paul sent me about a minute and a half long little public service announcement that he did. He's going to be running in the Seattle Marathon. And these D linemen, Tony, they're unbelievable. They play at 300 pounds, and then they get out of the league, and then they lose 100 of it, right? And they become distance runners.
Skinny guy.
He is a skinny guy. It's unbelievable. Paul is going to run in the Seattle Marathon in November, November 27th. And so we are trying to coordinate a time for him to come in. He's going to join us in the first week of November and come in and talk about it a little bit more and really give you a little bit more insight into what it is that they're battling. But I figure never hurt. It's to throw it out there early if you want to contribute. It's kind of like that thing where, you know, you sponsor your kid, he's going to do 50 laps of around the gym or something like that. What Paul is looking for is a donation or a pledge to donate a dollar, donate a quarter, donate $50, whatever you can do per mile, right? It's a 26-mile event, 26.2, I suppose, is what it is. But, you know, if you can do a dollar, if you can do $5, if you can do $10, whatever you can do. And if you can't, that's fine as well. But maybe you could retweet the tweet or share the Facebook post from the Jaguars Today page and help spread the word to others who may be in a position to help out a little bit more. Paul's a hell of a good guy, and we'd like to see him get mission accomplished. You know, we at least get more money into research and help the people that continue to be impacted by this. So check that out on my Twitter timeline and on the Facebook page for Jaguars Today as well. We will come back and we will talk about the fan feedback question of the day a little bit. Tony's going to scoot out of here shortly. Blake Bortles press conference coming up at noon today. I'm going to talk with Sheldon Day after the program for the pregame show. We got a lot going on, but Dr. Stephen Lucy from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute will stop in to find out how healthy is this Jaguar team as they get ready to come out of their bye week. That's straight ahead on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Jaguars Today rolls on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Dr. Stephen Lucy pops in for a weekly visit with us from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Hi, Doc. How are you?
I'm great.
You came through the hurricane okay?
I did. The only damage I had was the damage of my wife, the hurricane, who filled up an upstairs bathtub, which subsequently leaked into the dining room and into the chandelier. So it was a hurricane preparedness
issue.
Damage.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you need a new tub, it sounds like, Doc. We did the same thing. We filled up a tub in case we came home more, you know, for being able to flush the toilet, you know, you never know. And yep. It was half gone after 2 days. So I don't know where it went. Fortunately, we have a one-story house, as Tony knows. We don't have any chandelier to ruin.
No.
But nevertheless, that was our tale of woe. But we're
yours
okay.
Probably went down the drain.
That's what I'm thinking. Doc, season down the drain. There's a segue for you. For Luke Jokel, from everything we know, successful surgery. And should Luke expect a full return to health?
Yeah, it sounds like he has. It's one of those things with him that, you know, people expect MRIs to show everything. And as I understand it, his MRI definitely showed a meniscus tear and a medial collateral ligament, which we talked about last week. But it was a little iffy on the ACL, and it turned out when they got in there that it was damaged too. And so that was reconstructed as well. So a little more surgery than the average ACL. But again, in today's medicine and given the long length of time he'll have to return, we would think he would be back in action and be fine next season.
Other than that, Jack's in pretty good shape. Health-wise, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what bye weeks are for. Unfortunately, I think we're coming out of this pretty well. It sounds like Julius Thomas and Odric are both going to be practicing this week, and hopefully we'll have a good week in practice and be right in there on Sunday.
Go back to being as close to full strength as possible. What are the Bears looking at in terms of, you know, certainly Cutler is an unknown right now.
Yeah, I mean, they've had, as opposed to we've had a pretty good year, I think they've had a disastrous year. Just last week, Cutler was out, Leonard Floyd, DeAndre Hall, a bunch of their starters were inactive. So Cutler, they've been saying that in 3 weeks or so he should be back, which should be this week. There is some talk that they may go with Brian Hoyer anyway, but we'll have to see whether Cutler's practicing and what the coaching staff wants to do with that. But, you know, this was a ligament in the thumb, which is kind of like a medial collateral ligament in the knee, and you need it to grip a football. So it's a problem with a quarterback, because if they're not gripping the football, then they're not throwing accurate and the balls aren't are wobbling. And so they're not going to let him back in there until he's ready to go.
Would you assess the first month of the season being one of the healthiest you can remember for a Jaguar team?
You know, it really has. I mean, we've been very fortunate. We've had a few people dinged up, which is about average. But, you know, Luke Jokel, I think, is the first major injury we've had at this point. And given the violence of the game, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, there you go. Let's hope it keeps up in that fashion. I'm glad that, minus the chandelier, you came through unscathed, and like hopefully a lot of people did. Still a lot of people out there without power, so we're thinking about you, even if you can't hear us right now, right?
I tell you.
That's what batteries are for.
I got finished a little early and drove down South Ponte Vedra in St. Augustine yesterday, and you feel for those people.
Where did you go? Because I have not been downtown or out at the beach yet since I've been back.
A lot of devastation south of the gate station on A1A down there. Maybe 20 homes with sort of condemned signs on them to where the ocean has underwashed the house. And then around...
Is that on St. Augustine Beach or Volano?
Volano.
Okay.
I didn't make it to St. Augustine Beach, but I did get down by the Conch House, sunk boats, sailboats, sails ripped, the docks all washed out. And as I went around that point, there were people's whole houses out on the street, you know, refrigerators, couches. I went by a motel that probably had 50 mattresses out by the street. So they really got it hard.
No doubt. Doc, knock on wood, hoping the best for all those folks, and hope that's it for the major storms, at least for 2016.
I hope so, too.
All right, we'll see you next week. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you.
Dr. Stephen Lucy, he's with Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. They are your official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Take a look at a few of the fan feedback returns we got this morning, asking folks, which player on the Jags, or which, I guess, person, as the case may be, has surpassed your expectations the most in the first month of the season? I say person because Chad, first one we got in on the Facebook page, said Todd Wash, he thinks, has done a great job of teaching the young defenders and new free agents. His play calling has been good overall, and he's got a feeling they're only going to get better, and he hashtagged it up with a bunch of things, including Jaguars Today and Steal the Show, and wow. I'm not going to read that one. Let's go to Derek. You said, I'm going to say the entire linebacker core. I think they're getting the trickle down from an improved pass rush and an improved secondary. I don't think it's a fluke that Posluszny and Telvin are having banner years. The rest of the defense is allowing them to look good. From Joe Hines, the Gator is very this Gator is very impressed with Ramsey. Hashtag Jaguars today. Thank you, Joe. Josh said Unique Ngakoue, 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and an interception. Based on what we got on Twitter this morning, he would be the winner, the runaway winner, perhaps. Ramsey probably being a second place finisher. Jared went with Brandon Linder. No snaps on the ground so far, knock on wood. Skyler said we're 1-3. Nobody has exceeded expectations. Several votes, including one from Mary Campbell, for Jason Myers, who's been pretty solid this year as well. And then Tony wraps it up by voting for Ramsey and Ngakoue, who I think, you know, for me, Tyler, I would throw at least consideration Marquise Lee's way simply for the fact that he's been able to stay healthy and been part of the game plan every week, 16 receptions, and haven't had a hint of him needing to, you know, be gone for an extended period of time, in and out for a couple of plays because of cramps a few games back. But other than that, been pretty smooth sailing. The yards per catch, not what I'd like to see, just over 10 for Marquise Lee, but I think that'll come in time.
Right, like most people say, the best ability in the league is availability. But like you said, the one thing people want to see from Marquise is take the top off the defense, so to say. And the deep balls really haven't been there for anybody, so it'll be interesting to see if that comes forward here.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Brian Sexton laid out a case for Chris Ivory between the tackles, then hit him with T.J. Yeldon and use that two-headed monster as a way to draw the safeties up and open things up down the field. We've debated that. Do you just take more shots down the field? Because, quite frankly, until T.J. Yeldon got it going to some degree against Indianapolis, they hadn't been able to run the ball at all against anybody. So,
and even if you don't complete the pass downfield, there's still a good chance that A-Rob's going to get mugged by somebody and get a flag.
Well, and the problem is he's been getting mugged.
He hasn't been
getting the flags in proportion to how many times he's been getting beat up down the field. By the way, Tony's out of here. He's taken off to go check in with Blake Bortles' midweek press conference. So we'll have a lot of that sound coming your way later this afternoon on 1010XL and certainly tomorrow morning on Jaguars Today when Ryan O'Halloran makes a triumphant return. I'm sure to put everybody in a good mood tomorrow. Come on, they're on a one-game winning streak. What could O'Halloran possibly not be happy with the Jacksonville Jaguars right now? That's going to do it for us today. Reminder, again, we'll leave it up on Twitter and Facebook, and we're going to have Paul Fraze in here in November to go over exactly what he's doing. But he's raising money to fight a rare disease that took the life of his young son, and he's trying to help families who are in a similar situation. So he's going to run the Seattle Marathon in late November, and he's looking for people who want to pledge you know, anything, a buck, a mile, whatever you can do to help him out, a former Jaguar who's made his home here in this community, and he's a great member of the First Coast community. So if you can help him, certainly try to do that, or at least if nothing less, retweet what we sent out there on Twitter and maybe share the Facebook post from the Jaguars Today page as well. That would be very helpful. Thanks to Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor for any size plumbing job. Metro Rooter has a solution. Visit MetroRooter.com to find out more, or just simply call them at 695-1911. Dr. Stephen Lucy needs to call them, it sounds like, when that tub's leaking. Metro Rooter will have the fix for you, the right people with the right equipment. That's why they've been so successful since 1978, our longtime Wednesday sponsor. Metro Rooter, we appreciate those guys. Thanks to Brian Sexton for joining us today. Got to bring you a little bit of sound from Malik Jackson. Don't forget he joins the Midday Chalk every Tuesday right around noontime. I'm getting ready to talk to Sheldon Day for the pregame, so you can hear that coming up on Sunday. So for Joe Fortunato, who I've yet to hear his lyrics for On Broadway, the revised edition, but I'm sure I will at some point. For Brian Sexton, for Tyler Devitt, and for Tony Smith, I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. This has been Jaguars Today, once again on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, fantasy football fans, if you're only playing season-long fantasy football, you ought to know by now you're absolutely missing out. Put your skills to the test this week for a chance to win cash in FanDuel's one-week fantasy football contest. Here's the beauty of it. You know what? Your season-long league, you might be 1-4. You might even be 0-5. Maybe you drafted the wrong guys. Maybe they got hurt. Maybe they're simply underperforming. Maybe you drafted the right guys, and you're just running up against hot teams every week. Well, at FanDuel, you could pick a new team every single week, play the matchups that you like. Just choose your contest, pick your team, and win. Leagues that start at just a single dollar, setting a lineup, that's a piece of cake. Hey, I know Pittsburgh hasn't been as good on the road, but I can't get away from playing a bunch of Steelers against the Dolphins this week. You pick the matchups you like. And with FanDuel now, you can get up to $50 in free entries for new users who deposit. That's 5 free entries to NFL 50-50 beginner contest valued at up to $50. To get this deal, go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, use my promo code Mike. That's Mike at FANDUEL.com. Promo code Mike at FanDuel.com. Void where prohibited.
You guys have a good day. Peace.